And it happened to rhyme there, Brother Mike. We'll give him praise in different ways. Amen. 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 The Lord is good.
All the time.
He is good. Yes, he is. Amen. We thank God, and we're going to go right ahead and move it up just a notch higher.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we all need, as the song said, more love.
Amen.
If you have more love, you have more power. Why is that? Because God said God is love, right?
Yes, he is.
Amen. So we think that through. That's a very fruitful combination. Amen. And that's what we do. As those of you who know, who study with us for any time, you know, we always like to say that the word Bible is an acronym for being increasingly better lovers every day.
Yes.
Becoming increasingly better lovers every day. Amen. Every day we learn to love a little better. Amen.
Yes.
That's what distinguishes the church from the rest of the world.
All right.
It's not a superficial love, it's a real love that looks at the deepest needs and concerns about a situation or a person and delivers what they need, not so much what they want. Sometimes what you need is not necessarily what you want.
All right.
A lot of times you want something, but it may not be what you need.
All right.
A lot of people get in trouble over that.
Right.
Yeah, they want something, but it's not what they need.
Right.
Amen. You have to be careful there how you handle that situation.
Amen.
Because if you get what you want, sometimes it may really give you a problem. You may have a problem.
Right.
If it's not what you need.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And of course, the word even says, God says, I will supply with
all your needs.
According to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to supply your need. And thank God he does give us some of our wants, even if it's stuff that we don't necessarily need. Sometimes he'll give it to you just so you can see you don't need it. You know. I've had that happen. And so that may not have happened to you, but it happened to me. All right. Amen. So happy Passover Sunday.
Yes.
Now, as we mentioned when we were taking the Lord's Supper, the Passover, as we had talked about, is that time that the Jews celebrated when God was delivering them out of Egypt, out of bondage.
Uh-huh.
They were in the house of bondage, the scripture said.
That's right. Amen.
And God promised them on a certain night the angel of death would fly over.
Yeah.
And when he flew over, he would strike the firstborn with death.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Of whoever it was that did not put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel.
Amen.
Not just any old blood, but the blood of a lamb.
Amen.
Had to be put on the doorposts.
Amen.
And on the lintel.
Yes.
And see, now the doorpost is that beam that goes down the side of the door, and the lintel goes across the top. And that's kind of like the cross.
Amen.
There's a beam this way and a beam that way. And the blood was applied by the blood of the Lamb on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what actually fulfilled that thing. It started back in the Garden of Eden, as we mentioned this morning, when the very first sin was committed.
Yes.
God went in after Adam had tried to cover himself. That's what works. Self-righteousness will do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Get you running from God trying to cover yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And God didn't breach the relationship. It was Adam who breached the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but Adam thought, oh, I better fix this myself. That's what people think a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But God came to him and found him in his mess, covered in his fig leaves, and said, no, you can't fix it, basically, in so many words. These are implied things by the text in Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that God took a lamb, an animal. We don't know if it was a lamb, but he slayed an animal and covered Adam and Eve with the bloody skins of an animal, showing them that the wages for sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So God acted as a priest in that relationship. And he started up what is known as the sacrificial system. It escalated by time the covenant people were sojourning in the land of Egypt. And they were there, and God sent Moses back to Egypt after 80 years. He was in exile for 40 years, actually. Not 80, he was 80 years old, let's say, when he returned. But he was in exile in the land of Midian for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And God told him to go back and confront the Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. because they had been oppressed now for 40 years since Moses left after murdering an Egyptian.
Right.
And we read all that in the book of Exodus, chapter 2.
Amen.
And some people say, what, Moses that wrote the 5 books of the Bible was a murderer? Absolutely.
Yes, he was.
But he got saved by grace. That's the same thing we preach today.
Yes.
In either case, we know that when Moses went back, God instituted what was called the Passover, which was the conclusion of 10 plagues that he had smitten the land of Egypt with in order to give them opportunity and space to repent.
Amen.
He wanted them to turn around and trust in the one and only true God.
Amen. Yes.
And they would not do it. Some of them did, we know, but most of them did not. And so the Passover was the last of those 10 plagues that God had set forth. And he allowed the children of Israel to take an animal from their flock among the sheep or the goats and to put that animal to death at twilight and take his blood, put it in a basin and strike the lintel and the doorpost and roast the lamb with bitter herbs and have a feast, like, basically is what they did. And then they were to go in under the blood and stay under the blood till the death angel passed over, and that's where we get that term Passover.
Yes.
We find out in the New Testament, as we mentioned this morning, that Jesus associated all the memory of what that Old Testament Seder, or the Passover Seder as they call it, was representing, and he transferred it to himself.
Yes, he did.
He says, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. John had already said in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't come just to cover it for a year. He takes it away once and for all. So Jesus is not only the Lamb, but he's also the scapegoat. We mentioned that. He takes the sin away, never to return again. Amen. So on this Sunday, we celebrate many years. In fact, we divide time, we said, by Jesus Christ.
Yes, we do.
It's 2015 years since his birth. And now he, of course, was 33 years old there and about when he was crucified and laid in a borrowed tomb and defeated death, hell, and the grave, got up with all power in his hand and commissioned the church to go into all the world and teach, make disciples of all the nations. And so we're still here doing that same thing, making disciples. And so today we want you to understand, just if you have a handout there, you'll see that Passover Sunday is a very critical Sunday because we celebrate the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, what is known as the New Testament. In his blood, Jesus ratifies the New Testament because he takes all the meaning from everything the Old Testament meant and transfers it to himself. That's why the Bible says that we are complete in Christ. If you trust in Christ, you lack nothing. And you need to know that. That's something you need to know, because it's a spiritual battle out here in the world. And the world will tell you things that you have believed are not true. They'll tell you something else can save you. You'll hear all kinds of hogwash in the world. You know, so it's necessary for those who trust Christ to fully understand that when you are in Christ, that means you trust in him, you believe in him, you believe that God allowed him to be crucified for you, that he died there to pay the debt entirely for all your sins. In past, present, and future.
Amen.
Think about this. All that was done before you were born.
Yes.
Nobody is here that was born when Jesus was hanging out there on Calvary. Mm-hmm. But the knowledge of it is still here. And it's by the knowledge of him that we are saved. Those who trust and believe in him. Now, you know, I want to make a distinction before we even dig into this lesson here today. I want you to know there's a difference between trusting Christ and knowing about Christ.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Okay. You know what? The Jews who deny Christ today, some of them who do, many of them don't. They do trust Christ, but many of them still deny him. They know about him, though.
Yes, they do.
You know what? People who say Buddha can save you know about Jesus.
That's right.
The devil knows about Jesus. I'm giving you some examples of folk who know about Jesus. Knowing about Jesus won't save you.
That's right. Amen.
But you must trust in Christ.
Trust in
him. Big difference.
Yes, it is.
You know, all kinds of demons know about Jesus, but they're not going to be saved.
That's right.
See, a lot of folk know about Jesus. Knowing about him and just the facts about him, that won't get you saved.
That's right.
You need to trust in him.
Trust.
See, trusting him is a whole different thing. In other words, I'm not going through in my life trying to settle debts with God that have already been paid because Jesus paid it.
Amen.
See, and I trust that he paid it.
Yes.
And he did it for me exclusively.
Yes.
You see, and he did it for you exclusively. You are able to say that. Every person can say that if you believe it.
Yes.
So it's not a matter of knowing about Christ. I would say Christ is so famous, virtually everyone knows about him. People say religion is nothing but a bunch of hogwash. We hear a bunch of that in the world. You know about Christ, don't you? Yes, you do. But you don't trust him, do you?
That's it.
The big difference is, do you trust him?
Do you trust him?
Do you lean and depend on him for that day when you cease to exist in the world, in the flesh,
yes,
and you transition into eternity? Do you trust him to take you past that point?
Yes,
so
do.
That what Paul said, that we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, is true of you. And the only way, the only one knows that is you. I was saying this at a Bible study we had a couple of weeks ago. You have to know where you stand on that one.
That's right. Amen.
Do I lean entirely upon Christ and depend upon him?
Yes.
The Bible says he is sufficient to save you if you trust him.
Amen.
How do we know? Because he is risen and mighty to save. That is our topic here this morning. Amen. He is risen. Now, what does that mean? That means death that you and I have to deal with. And that will be something we have to deal with if we keep living.
Yes.
Is death. But Jesus dealt with it for you already.
Oh, yes, he did.
So the fact that he is risen is the thing you should be happy about.
That's right.
Because nobody else can give you that joy. The fact that the grave is defeated.
That's right.
Messiah went in the grave, but he came back out. That's the good news. He is risen. And therefore, he is mighty to save. He wants to save you. That's the next thing.
Yes,
a lot of people have an issue with that. God wants to forgive you. You don't want to forgive yourself. You go around thinking, I know what I did. Yeah, you know what you did, all right? God knows what you did, too.
Right.
That's why he sent his son to be crucified on a tree.
That's right.
To forgive you for that thing, whatever it was.
Amen.
So if you say, you don't know if you can trust Christ, well, then that means you are a higher court than God. God has said, I will dismiss you from your sin if you trust in my son, but you won't forgive yourself. So somebody needs to practice forgiving themselves.
That's right.
Understand, if God will forgive you, a higher court has pronounced you not guilty.
Amen.
Not unless you consider yourself a higher court than God.
Right. Amen.
You know, a lot of people don't get saved because they won't forgive themselves. And they go around carrying a load all their life.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said stuff like, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, in other words, become my disciple, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He already came through, defeated death in the grave, and he is risen and mighty to save.
Yes, amen.
He has the power to save you from anything that you're dealing with, and that's what you have to understand, and your trust must be right there in Christ. So before we dig into this, I want to talk with you here from an Old Testament passage and also a brief New Testament passage, which are found in the book of the Psalms. This is a quote from David, the king, just a few verses.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few verses from the very first sermon that was preached in the New Testament church by Peter. On the day of Pentecost, it says here, or shortly after Pentecost, this message was preached by the Apostle Peter that we find in Acts chapter 2. Starting at verse 21, we're just going to take a little excerpt from the whole message for our subject matter. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for the deacons to read these passages for us. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms number 16, verses 8 to 11, a quote from King David, and also Acts chapter 2, verse 21 to 24. Amen. A quote from Simon Peter. Amen.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasure forevermore.
Amen.
My Lord.
Amen. This is the blessed word from the old
Glory,
covenant.
Hallelujah.
For the people of God, may God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now the New Testament scripture reading.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up out of the pains of death, because was not possible, it was not possible that he should be holden of it.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his blessed word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let us pray as we think about the topic, risen and mighty to save. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we bless you, we exalt your name. Thank you for this celebration today, Father, of your son's rising from the dead. And all that that means, Father, help us in this room to understand that better, more clearly than we ever have, Father, today, and help us to see how it will be an impact on us personally.
Yes.
If we trust in the risen Christ, the Messiah, your son, give us that wisdom, give us that understanding, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your son. It's in his name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We could see that many things led up to the preaching of this sermon. Not long before this, the apostles had went and hid. They knew about Jesus,
but they
didn't trust Jesus. They went and hid. They went and tried to take cover. You know why? Because they were more scared of the Romans, the Jews, and all those people who had crucified Jesus. And they had to go take cover and hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because they were not trusting in Christ that he had the solution to the problem of death.
Amen.
They were thinking, boy, if they got him and they killed him, boy, I might be next, because I was hanging out with him for 3 years. They might want to get his whole crew and round them up and take them and hurt them. And they had dogged Jesus, just to put it in modern terms.
Yes,
he had been dogged.
Yes.
Literally dogged.
Amen.
Done wrong. You know, mutilated beyond comparison.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Isaiah said that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. It was so hideous. Have you ever seen something so hideous?
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't take much, you know, and it grosses you out, depending on your threshold of being able to tolerate something like that. But imagine everybody who's seen him, like, oh, it was just horrible the way they had done him. See? Isaiah said we hid, as it were, our faces from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, we can't stand to look upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
Bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. By his stripes, all of that flogging is all described right there in Isaiah chapter 53. And he did all that for us. So now think about yourself as an apostle before we cast them down and say, oh, well, you know, they ran and hid. Well, you probably would have ran and hid too. I think we would have been gone long before. When Peter drew the sword, he was ready to fight then while Jesus was alive. But when Jesus submitted to him, put the ear back, that probably blew his mind right there, you know, to start with. But then when he saw Jesus tell him, put your sword away, and he submitted to the officers that came to get him.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow, what's going wrong? You know, because when they first came, Jesus had spoken, and they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He says, I am. And the power of that I am, which is the name of God, knocked them all down flat. And this happened time after time.
Mm-hmm.
He was letting them see, I have authority here.
Yes.
You know, I know what's going on. You think you have authority because you came with clubs and staves and torches all in the night. You know, he says, are you coming with all that to get me? You know, and they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? I am. And then they all fell backwards, the Bible said. So he was letting them know, I got power to stop your little show.
Amen.
That you're trying to do. But I want you to know I'm going with you. Why? Because I came for this reason.
Yes.
I already knew the wickedness in your heart. I already understood that you are going to try. You're going to crucify me.
Amen.
It's written in the word. You are the that's ignorant, that doesn't have knowledge of what you're doing.
Amen.
And so he let them see. That's why he told Peter, put your sword away. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Put it away. And he put the ear back, corrected the error that he had made. Now I tell you, Peter was not trying to cut a man's ear off. The man saw that sword and he went like this and just cut his ear off. He probably tried to cut his head off.
That's right.
And if he hadn't a duck, it would. That's the only reason it was just an ear.
Yeah.
You see, more than likely, because I'm sure he wasn't going for the ear, you know, like he didn't go trying to do a Van Gogh to him, you know, none of that. But so the fact is, he was coming to kill. I'm going to get you, you know. And so he had a lot of strength in, a lot of audacity, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Jesus told him, quell that audacity. Chill out. You're going to blow the whole program here.
Yes.
I came in order to submit myself to this. Mm-hmm. And so Peter saw that. And once he did, it was like, oh, I can't believe this, you know, all of them. But that was to fulfill prophecy. Zechariah had said that they will smite the shepherd and the flock shall be scattered.
Yep.
See, it was already written down, every little thing. And so all of these things were fulfillment of prophecy that had already been written. So John was the only one. He said, I guess I don't know what got into John. He said, I'm going to go stand with him. I don't care what y'all do. Because John loved him. He probably felt like, well, go ahead and kill me too. But I'm going to be here. I'm not going to turn my back on him. You know how sometimes you have that one friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yes.
He ain't going to put you down. I don't care what you say.
Right.
This is my road dog here, as we would say, you know.
Right.
So John stood with him. He wanted to stand with him at the cross.
Yes.
And of course he was there with Mary. We saw that as we looked at those seven words. And he was the one that heard, as Luke records for us, Father, forgive them.
Right.
Yes.
For they know not what they do. Is that what somebody says that's in a troubled situation? You know, how about, hey, you know, don't you forget me up here?
Right.
Eventually he gets around to something similar to that, but he says the first word, Father, forgive them. He's asking for forgiveness, intercession for the people who are crucifying him.
Amen.
Well, they don't know what they do.
Yes.
Then he says to a thief that repents next to him today, you shall be with me in paradise.
Amen.
See, he's granting salvation to a man who repents on the cross on one side of him.
Amen.
See, so look at what he's doing, the magnitude of what he does there.
Yes.
Then he sees John and Mary standing there at the cross and he says, woman, behold your son.
Yes.
Son, behold thy mother. He takes care of his mother from the cross.
Amen.
And so you can see in the things that he said and what we studied on Good Friday, those seven words,
yes,
that he is concerned. He's on a mission. Here's a man on a mission. At this time, God has forsaken him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it. He is God the Son, but God the Father has now forsaken him.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we say that is because if you need a gift, if somebody's given a gift, they must forsake it.
Yes.
They must leave it. Like if I say I'm going to give this to Brother Ray and I keep it in my hand, I always use that as a metaphor, it's not really a gift.
That's right.
It's not a gift till I give it to him and forsake it, walk away from it.
Amen.
No matter what it costs, it could have been a bar of gold worth millions of dollars. If as long as I keep it, it's not a gift, is it?
Right.
It's only a gift when I give it away.
Amen.
So God forsook his son because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him to you and to me so that we might trust in him and believe and therefore be saved. And so he takes care of his mother in the fourth word as we look. And then, of course, we see the fifth word. He says, of course, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then they took a branch of hyssop and fulfilled this next one where he says, I thirst.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the scripture needed to be fulfilled. It was important that every characteristic of the scripture be fulfilled. So the sixth word, I thirst. And basically, they gave him the sour wine, which had been also part of scripture.
That's right.
And then he says here, basically, after this, he says, it is finished.
It's finished.
So all the work that God required for Messiah to do to pay the penalty for us was finished.
Amen.
You know what? He still wasn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
I always marvel about that. Mm-hmm. He took all that, took everything everybody had to dish out against him.
Amen.
You know, God forsaking him, everything.
Yes.
Thirsting on the cross.
My Lord.
And he invented water. All the water that's
My
here,
Lord.
He made it.
Yeah.
Any water, anywhere, he created it.
Yes,
it was the work of his own hand.
Yeah.
But he was hanging there, didn't even have a drink.
My Lord.
I thirst.
Mm.
And then, of course, he says with a loud voice, and he's still speaking loudly, even after he's been mutilated and abused by all of mankind, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." So in other words, he dismissed a perfect, untainted, unspotted, unblemished spirit to God that never sinned. Through all that, that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
And God was satisfied because, you know, Adam couldn't do it. And nobody born of Adam's seed ever did it.
Amen.
The only one who ever did it was his son.
Jesus.
See? And so he dismissed a perfect, unblemished spirit to God. And for that, God was satisfied. That's what Adam had before he sinned.
Yes.
But he squandered it and gave it away to Satan. So what I want you to see here is when the church is born now, Jesus has been crucified.
Uh-huh.
He has been buried in the grave 3 days and three nights according to the scriptures.
Yes. Amen.
And he rose from the dead. Now the apostles were strengthened by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And they actually saw him for 40 days after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Let's say after the resurrection, 40 days they saw him.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared in different places. We looked at some of that in 1 Corinthians 15. This morning, he appeared among many brethren. He was seen by over 500 witnesses. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to James and Cephas, all those times we saw in 1 Corinthians 15. And now he had been seen by all of them, and he was basically speaking to the apostles. They came to him. They still had a question. Now they have a little more strength because they see he's appearing. He's showing up all over the place in that body that was crucified. They got up out the grave. That there are many witnesses talking about the resurrection in town now.
Amen.
All around. There's plot brewing up there with the Jews to get rid of the apostles now and all that. But then they said, "Well, Lord, is it at this time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel?" Acts chapter 1. You know, he says, "It's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has put into his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
My Lord.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In other words, he gave them a more complete prophecy of the church. And here we are now in America.
Yes.
2015.
Amen.
And we're still preaching the same gospel that was delivered to the
same
church
gospel
at that time. So, Peter, I want to zoom in on this service here as we look at Acts chapter 2. Because I want you to know that the extent that God has gone through to let people know the depth of his love, that's what all this is about. For them, his love for you is extremely great beyond all comparison and can be understood best by realizing that the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross is complete and is adequate to save everyone who trusts in him for the full payment for all their sins. That's what he provides for you. If you trust in him, he pays your bill entirely, and for all.
Amen.
That's what we call the gospel. That's good news.
Amen.
You know what? It wouldn't be good news if I thought there's something I need to add to it. Because you know what? I'm subject to trip at any minute.
Yes.
If you're being honest about yourself, how many days have you made it all the way through the day with no sin?
Amen.
I'm not going to ask for hands. Don't do a show of hands here now. Because we'll all have to put up both. But in either case, we haven't been able to do it, have we?
Amen.
So what would happen if God didn't have a way to save a wretch that's undone? That doesn't mean I go around sinning intentionally. You know what? I sin less than I used to.
Right. Amen.
I remember being engulfed in sin.
Yes.
You know, and to the point where I was doing anything, whatever I thought was what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but I am doing way less. I'm much better than I've ever been. Plus, I have a sensitivity to doing wrong. I don't want to hurt God anymore.
Yes.
I don't want to damage my relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, and so now my whole focus is all different. And all of that is because Jesus is risen and he is mighty to save.
Yes.
When you trust him, he dwells in you. The Bible says the Spirit of God will dwell in you.
That's right.
And his purpose is to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Amen.
So he'll open up the word, stuff you couldn't understand before, stuff you weren't interested in. He changes your focus and your interest.
Yes, he does.
See, and gets you interested in things that will be wholesome and nutritious for you spiritually.
Yes. Amen.
To grow you up. And so here we see Peter now, after all of this transition. I kind of took you over some of what he may have went through in a brief manner to show you now that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He is a powerful minister of the truth. And he doesn't care. Do whatever you want. He's kind of, I'm starting to feel that way myself. If you're going to tell me what I can and cannot say, nope, sorry. I get my orders from somewhere else. You know, and you can do whatever you want, but you're going to hear the truth. Or you can leave if you like. You have a choice. But I'm going to tell you the truth. So Peter stands up here. This is kind of in the middle of it. Here he's speaking to Jews and all kinds of people who are in question about what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. Mm-hmm. They started to make accusations. Oh, they all drunk up there. They're all full of new wine. And mm-hmm. up there, because they started to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance.
Yes.
That's because there were people there from every tribe and nation under heaven, the Bible says. Folks came there from all kinds of places. There were Jews who had been scattered to the four winds, if you will. But they came back to Jerusalem by command, because the Bible commanded them to be there.
Amen.
At this time, three times a year, they were to appear and not come empty-handed. They were to bring offerings to support the temple. Mm-hmm. And so here Peter, now full of the energy of the Holy Spirit, says, quoting from the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass," Acts 2:21, "that whosoever," now he understands that anybody can now be saved, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now he quotes Joel, but Peter really doesn't understand that yet right here. I wish we had time to, he quotes what the word says, but he still does not believe Gentiles can be saved. Mm-hmm. That's a subtopic. We'll take that up at Bible study. Hopefully you'll come for that. Amen. But he says that he quotes what the prophet says, but it took him a while to understand that the church is going to be universal. It's going to be everybody, whosoever will.
That's right.
He was still primarily trying to keep it a Jewish thing at this point.
Amen.
Nobody hardly ever tells you that in Acts 2. But you have to come back to it when you get to Acts 10 and you'll understand what I'm saying. Now notice this, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." He's preaching to the Jews. Why? Because he came to the Jews first.
Yes.
And then also to the Greeks, it says. The gospel was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you." This was not some secret thing behind a curtain.
That's right.
He was going right down in all the neighborhoods where they lived, doing all these things in the public.
Amen.
And nobody could say they didn't know about it. Nobody, somebody could have stood up and said, "We didn't see that," but nobody did. Why? Because you saw it. It happened right in the midst of you. It was right in your face. Everything he did was public knowledge. Everybody knew it. Common knowledge. Remember Nicodemus came at night saying, "Good master, good teacher, we know you are a man come from God, because no one can do the signs that you do except God be with him." It was common knowledge. That's why people came from everywhere, all around, just to see what was going on. And to be a part of it, folks who needed to be healed. So he says, you know who he was, because he did this, God did this through him right in your midst. "He being delivered," notice this phrase, "by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." See that? So basically he says God wrote this down a long time ago. It's in your book. The book you study. The Bible.
Amen.
And it was in the mind of God even before it was in the book. It was selected to be done by Christ and the Father in the Godhead.
Yes.
Years ago in eternity past, they decided to do this.
Amen.
And now it's just fleshed out in your time. "He being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." In other words, he put the rap on them for doing the crucifixion.
That's right.
Now notice, that's what you did, but this is what God did, verse 24. "Whom God hath raised up." See that? You put him down, buried him in a tomb, killed him, and God raised him up.
God raised him up.
See that?
Yes.
"And having loosed the pains of death." This is the part that fascinates me for today.
Thank you, Jesus.
"Because it was not possible that he should be holding of it."
Thank
death
you,
did not hold him. Why? Because he had not sinned.
Amen.
And so the proof of the resurrection is the fact that Jesus got up out of the grave.
Yes, he did.
He defeated death.
Amen.
He defeated sin. All those things were defeated. He got up victoriously. And he is risen and mighty to save
my
all
Lord.
Those who trust him.
That's right.
So if you trust him, you're on the right track. If you haven't trusted him, do it today. This is a good day. Jesus Christ risen from the dead is the central, essential fact that distinguishes the truth from error, from erroneous and false teaching of so-called religions. They have no way to get you out of the grave.
That's right.
You see, which have no power to save nor to deliver sinners from the evil power of sin, and resurrection preaching, which is what we do, was at the center of the message of the church.
Yes.
And is directly responsible for the deliverance from guilt and the fear of death. Who wants to go around guilty?
Milo.
That's what you really get. That's how you know you trust Jesus, because you don't feel guilt anymore. He took it away.
Thank you,
He Jesus. Removed the stain. He settled your account with God.
Yes, He did.
So why should you feel guilty? Why should you be fearful? What was the difference between Peter the day before when he was running to hide and the next day when he understood, I can trust Jesus?
Yes.
He went through the grave. He got up with all power and authority. I don't even care what you do. You want to take me out now? Go ahead. Because you can't do anything. Jesus had already told him, you don't fear him who can kill the body. And when he's done that, that's all he can do. But fear him who can kill the body and soul and cast both into hell. That's who you should fear.
Amen.
So you should have fear of no one but God.
Amen. That's right.
You know, because I don't care who you are. You can't take me out unless God wants me out.
Amen.
So I'm going to not preach the truth, or fail to preach the truth, I should say, to satisfy you. Why? Why would I do that? If I trust Christ.
That's right.
He is risen and mighty to save.
Yes. Amen.
He is able to do anything that he has given you to do. You are able to do it. You are equipped.
My Lord.
You don't need to fear anyone but
no
God himself.
Yes. That's right.
So if God put you on a mission, you shouldn't have any guilt, because if Christ paid your sin debt, why do you feel guilty? Not unless you take it upon yourself that you're a higher court than God.
That's it.
Yeah. But Jesus crucified, buried, and risen is the one who you need to trust in. So if you have never understood and accepted the facts of the gospel, and you now understand that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, has defeated death and the grave, and he did it for you, it is our prayer that you accept him as your Savior right now. And realize that he is risen and mighty to save.
Oh, yes, he is.
That's the reason he did that. So you need to understand this day is a day we celebrate his resurrection.
Glory.
He got up in order for you not to have to go to bed guilty.
That's right.
Because he pays your bill. He paid Moses' bill, who murdered an Egyptian.
Yes, he did.
He can pay yours.
Okay.
If he paid King David's bill, who went and slept with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, he can save you.
That's right.
We could go on and on pulling up examples. Now, it doesn't mean those things are fine or okay.
That's
when
right.
the people understood they were out of fellowship with God, they repented and turned to God and began to live a new life.
Yes, they did.
The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he's going to give you a new life and a new way of doing things.
Will.
And if you trust him, your guilt can go away.
Yes.
And now your life can start to snowball into righteousness. Because he will teach you more and more how to walk by faith and not by sight.
That's right.
And so that's what we hope you will do today, is realize Jesus is risen and mighty to save.
Yes.
And if you're not saved, he wants you to be saved. That's part of what the church's responsibility is to let people know that it's not God's desire that any should perish.
Yeah.
He did all that so he can save you.
That's right.
So if you won't be saved, that's up to you.
Yeah.
Only has to do with where you intend to spend eternity.
That's right.
You know, smoking or non-smoking, as we always say. You know, you can spend eternity with Christ, and you don't have to worry about it.
My Lord.
Or you can reject his gift. It's a free gift, and we broadcast that to you today.
Yes.
So we hope that if you're here today,
yes,
that you will trust Christ.
My Lord.
You don't have to wait anymore. You can put away guilt.
That's right.
Once and for all, and know that God already knows. See, another thing about guilt, it kind of supposes that I got something going on and it's cloaked in secrecy. You know what? Everything we do, you might as well go right up in heaven and do it, whatever it is. Whatever you're doing. God knows what you're doing.
He knows.
He knows. You can't trick God. You've never done anything so secret God doesn't know about.
Never. Never.
So either you can get saved, trust Christ, or you can continue
trust
to reject Jesus and carry your own weight.
Yes, yes.
But God would not be pleased with that, because he sent his son to save you.
Yes.
He is risen and mighty to save. He came to bear that penalty of death to take away the stain of sin. So if you're here today, we want to give you an opportunity to express that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you have never done that before. Or if you happen to be here and would like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church,
yes.
We are recruiting other people to come together with us to help export the gospel from this place. Amen. That's what the church started doing. That's what we're continuing to do.
Right. Amen. Now.
So we hope you would like to be a part of it.
Yes.
Amen. So if you're here and that's the case for you, we invite you to come. We extend the grace of God to you,
yes,
whoever you are.
Yes.
Realize no matter what you've done, God already knows about it. He paid the bill.
Yes, he did.
So either you accept that or you don't. That's as simple matter as that. But he loves you and he hopes that you will accept
yes,
it because
he does.
It will be his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, it's no more difficult for God to save you than it would be for him to save Moses, David. We can start naming all the people or anyone in this room. See? If he can forgive sin, he can forgive your sin.
Oh, yes, he can.
And he has done that. He set up the whole idea of the gospel. And that reason is gospel.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's good news. We're not preaching judgment.
Thank you, Jesus.
He could have said, go out and preach judgment. Well, we're not preaching judgment. We're preaching amnesty at the highest level.
Amen.
God is willing to forgive you for all your sin by grace through faith in the Son.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, carte blanche, amnesty. No matter what it is. That's the amnesty is a big word. It means we're not going to hold you accountable for whatever it is that you did, the transgression that you have done. Not going to hold you accountable. I would rather give you grace so that you can give the praise and the glory to my Son. See? And then we have a relationship. Salvation is really about relationships.
That's what it is.
You know, it's not rules and regulations and all that. It's communion with God. Where we confess our sins. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I can't cleanse you. I wish I could have Larry say, Larry, come over here. I need to be cleansed. And he could come and do something to take my sin away. He can't do it.
No way.
I wish I could cleanse his if he asked me. But I can't do it. But God can.
Amen.
And he said it's if you confess your faults. He says confess your faults one to another.
Mm-hmm.
And pray for one another that you may be healed. We have a part in the healing of one another. But he is the one who does it.
Mm-hmm.
He fixes me where I don't have those urges, those desires, those
yes.
gotta have it.
Yes. Thank
all
you,
the kind
Jesus.
Of stuff in me that would drag
thank
me
you,
to
Jesus.
The wrong thing.
Mm. See, my Lord.
It's him and it's in my fellowship with him that I get cleansed day by day. See? And it's a daily process.
Daily process.
You know what? When you think you're pretty clean, sometimes I've been like that in the past. Oh, I've been doing pretty well.
Watch out.
Then next thing you know, I read deeper in the Word, find out, oh man, you can't even be thinking
amen.
Like that.
Amen.
Much less doing it.
Amen.
You know, and so you find out that he has to clean up your thought processes.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
And he's cleaning you in places where you don't even realize you might be dirty. And as the Word comes up,
amen.
The light gets brighter. That's why it says if we walk in the light, even as he is in the light,
yes.
we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Oh,
so that's what it is. It's
thank
relationship.
Jesus.
We
thank
have a relationship
Jesus.
With God. That's why you want to know. You know, people who know this, they I want to come and hear the word. I want to hear a convicting word
yes.
that gets a hold of me somewhere where I've never
yes,
been
I do.
Convicted before. So I can come closer to God. See, I don't want to stay away from the church for 6 months and then pop in here and there. I want to hear the word.
Amen.
Because I know I need it.
Amen.
See, I'm truthful about who I am. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? And I know I need it.
Amen.
I'm the pastor. I need it.
Amen.
I can't stay away from it. I got to get
me
in
too.
And soak it
yes,
in.
Yes, Lord.
Else I can't be the pastor.
Amen.
See?
Thank you,
so,
Jesus.
So being in the word and in fellowship, that's really important. So we want to extend that to you if you're here. This is a good day to come to the Lord, and if you're here, we ask you to come at this time. Amen. Or even if you want to just be a member, maybe you're a Christian with experience already.
Yes.
And you'd like to unite with this church, we'd invite you to come at this time also. Amen. Would you like to give us a song, Brother Ray?
Come to Jesus. Come right now. He is waiting with his arms open wide.
With his arms open wide.
He is willing.
He is willing.
He's willing to save your soul today.
To save your soul.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come
do you sit there and debate on your life when Jesus has promised you eternal life? Give him your life today.
Oh, yes.
And he will make a change.
Yes, he will.
Come to Jesus. Come right now. You might be a sinner.
Yes.
Somehow you strayed away. Jesus is calling you. Come unto him today.
Yeah.
He is waiting.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's waiting with his arms open wide.
My Lord.
Come to Jesus. Come right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come right now. Come right now. He is waiting. He's waiting with his arms open wide.
With his arms open wide.
He is willing. He's willing to save your soul,
to save your soul.
Come to Jesus,
come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus,
come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus,
come to Jesus.
Now is the proper time. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
You ought to make up your mind. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
You ought to make up your mind. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Now is the proper time. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen.
Amen, amen.
We thank God. We hope you did enjoy the service today.
Oh, yes.
We like to give our visitors an opportunity, if they like, to have words at this time before we have a dismissal prayer. Any of you who are here, if you'd like. You know, we're not putting you on the spot, but if you want to tell us who you are or anything you'd like to say, we'd like to give you a spot to do that. Amen.
I'm Kenneth Tate Sr., brand of Rick and French for over 40 years.
Amen.
I'm not in good standing, but I was baptized in Greater Mount Carmel, Mississippi Baptist Church.
Amen.
I'm trying to get back in the flock, but I won't promise that this will be a church home, but, you know, I enjoyed myself today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're happy that you have come. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God for you.
Yes.
Come again.
It's a start.
Amen.
My
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes. My name is Charlotte Andrew. I'm a friend of Ron Johnson.
Amen.
I thank God for being here today.
Amen. Amen.
Your service and your ministry really touched my heart.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Really touched my heart. I'm so proud of you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I love God, and I just ask that you continue my strength in the Lord.
Yes.
That I do His will, and that I serve.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We give God praise. Any other visitors might like to have a word? If you can, if you like, you don't have to. We like to make sure folk know they don't have to, so they don't feel on the spot. I remember somebody did that to me one time when I first went back to church. It's like, oh my God. I feel like I want to shrink down in the seat. So we don't want to do you like that. Amen. But if you want to speak, we want you to know you do have free course.
Yes,
amen.
We do. Yes.
Amen. Anyway, in either case, we thank God for everyone and everything that our ears have heard. And we pray that, let's see, or do we have any other items anyone knows about that need to be, I think we already dealt with the...
Just want to remind everyone of the fellowship Saturday.
Saturday? Okay.
Oh, that's not the Saturday.
All right. Amen. All right. Any other thing, anyone?
We have some little gift bags for the
kids. Oh, yes. Okay, for the kids, we have prepared some items that they may be interested in. Even big kids like me, I might want to have a Easter donut or something. Amen. In either case, we have those in the fellowship hall right at dismissal. Amen. Any of you who are here. Hey, we're looking to do a lot of expansion. I just want to say this myself. Not just necessarily the building, but people. We're looking at people who have an interest in helping to build other people. Amen. And that could be you. There's something you can do, certainly.
Yes.
God gives gifts according to the Holy Spirit. And we're looking for people to help with some of the ministries. I want to encourage the parents. I know it's a little tough sometimes to get in the routine of bringing the kids in, but we would like to see those kids develop into a nice little choir and some theatrics and dance and all that. And we have people here who have been here the past couple of weeks waiting to try to engage with them. So, and eventually we'll get some kind of transportation where we'll just send the transportation over to pick them up.
Amen.
We're heading in that direction. Amen. But in the meantime, we want to ask you, if you can squeeze it in, bring them by. Maybe you need a break. Bring them by and you go do something else and come back in an hour. You know? Sometimes that's a good thing, too, just to give yourself a break. Amen. In either case, and we'll take care of them while you're there. Amen. During the rehearsal time, you'll come back and then they'll be singing on the way home.
Amen.
Amen. So having said that, let us stand if all minds are clear and have a dismissal word of prayer. Amen. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for the intensity of the gospel, Father. The good news.
Thank
and we receive it, Father.
Yes.
Deep within our spirits, Lord. And we ask that you just let the gospel have its way in our lives,
please,
God.
Father.
Bless every home and family that's represented here. Father, those who are not here that we're all thinking about. Some of us have people who are kind of distant from the church in our families. We pray for them, Lord. And we ask you to draw their hearts closer. Use us to be a beacon of light to reach out and touch them, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
And that they might come a little closer, Father. We praise you. We bless you.
Yes.
And we ask it all in the matchless name of your son, Jesus, with whom you are well pleased.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we are well pleased with him too. So we just thank you for Jesus today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
that he is risen and mighty to save.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us as we separate one from another. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask it all to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ, the risen one.
Yes, Lord.
Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And all the saints said,
Amen.
Reach out and touch somebody.